We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Keep up with the show on Twitter at OMF on WEEI. Before, during, and after the show at OMF on WEEI. Let's get you back to more of Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier right now on Sports Radio WEEI.
All right, back here on OMF. Time for us to talk, as we do every week, with the Red Sox manager, Alex Cortz, brought to you by Arbella Insurance, and by Cumberland Farms, the official coffee of the Red Sox Radio Network. You doing all right, Alex?
I'm doing good, actually. Good? Enjoying the weather here in Tampa. It's kind of perfect.
Good. At least you're enjoying something. That is good. That's always good for the soul. All right. You told us last week that the biggest concern you had, and you thought when it corrected itself, you'd be okay, and that is the starting pitching. And I've got to admit, in this last rotation, you got some good starts. Now, there are some other issues, so let's address them, and we'll start with offense. Last year, you told us that the year before in Houston, you observed that the one thing about the Red Sox lineup, they were far too passive, not aggressive on that first pitch. Other than J.D. Martinez right now, who, again, homered last night on the first pitch, and more specifically, Mookie Betts, they seem very passive. Have you changed the philosophy, or are they not paying attention?
No, I mean, we've been talking about it, and I think people have the wrong idea about, you know, what it really meant to swing at the first pitch. It's not to swing just to swing, but I mentioned it last year, you know, we were trying to avoid the bad takes. A bad take for me and from the organization I came from, the Houston Astros, is a pitch that you can do damage with it. You know, like if your pitch is the four-seamer out of third and you get it, well, you know what, go ahead and put a good swing on it. The chances that you're going to hit the ball hard, they're pretty high, and it feels that, you know, that's where we at right now as an offense. There's certain guys that their swing rate are a little bit higher. Obviously, Benny hasn't played the last few days, but he's swinging a lot. Mookie, he's the other way around, actually. And although last year, towards the end of the season, he wasn't as aggressive on the first pitch as probably early in the season. He's in that trend, and one thing about Mookie, and I talk to him on a daily basis, and one thing is to be passive, but if you're ready to hit and you let them know that there's a chance I might swing, you start pushing the pitcher out of the zone, and that's when the 1-0s, the 2-0s, the 3-1 counts come into play. And you know, he doesn't feel right at the plate. We've been talking about that too. You know, when you don't feel right, well, you know, you're a little bit hesitant and attack certain pitches. But, you know, it's something that we've been talking about for probably the first, I mean, 2 weeks, whatever. And hopefully, you know, we can start looking for pitches in the middle of the zone and put good swings on it and start pushing the opposition out of the strike zone.
You know, speaking of Mookie, Alex, kind of it looks like, you know, kind of maybe losing the barrel, you know, popping up to second, popping up to right field. But more so to me, I've seen him a few times now in the past week or so, mid at bat, almost looking back into dugouts for instruction. And as you know, I mean, once you get in that box, it's that instruction part should be over with. He really does seem lost.
Yeah, I mean, mechanically, and I mentioned it yesterday, it feels that he's off. We have some ideas. He has some ideas. So obviously, it's a work in progress. I mentioned yesterday that, you know, last year when he was hitting 380, it was the same search, you know, like he's unstoppable in this search, you know, like, you know, for his swing and the balance and what to do. Last year it was more about looking in 2031 and look at me and he's like, what are you saying? Should I go for it? And I'm like, yeah, hell yeah, just go for it, you know. But this year he's looking for reinforcement and you don't see that often, but that's who he is. And, you know, we're there for the kid. We on a daily basis, you know, Timmy and Andy and our group are helping him out. And, you know, with these guys, as you guys know, sometimes it takes one swing, you know, one swing and it clicks and when it clicks, it's fun. But right now, you know, he's grinding. It seems like he's expanding the zone a little bit more than usual, mm-hmm. especially last five or six games. And we just got to get back to attack pitches in the zone, you know, and kind of like clear your mind when you go to the plate. You know, it's you against the pitcher. It's about competing, and he competes, but at the same time, probably clear some thoughts and just be free at the batter's box and be an athlete.
Dustin Pedroia, one at bat, tells you he's got to leave the game. Apparently, he's feeling something in his knee. And then we've now heard he left the entire clubhouse, was not there at the end of the game. Never a good sign because we know what he's like. Have you got an update? And how fearful are you based on your knowledge of talking to him and maybe talking to some of the medical staff?
Yeah, still waiting to hear from Dustin and the doctors, you know, to get an update. He felt it on the first swing. It seems like when he hit against the front leg, he felt something on the knee. And he left the clubhouse. He was sick, too. You know, there's this flu that has been going on for like a week and a half, 2 weeks. And you know, he was in bad shape during the game and, you know, after what happened and then last night in the hotel. But, you know, we'll see. You know, he's been working so hard to get this to his stage, and he was feeling great. And then this happened. It's obviously it was a bad day in that sense. I talked to him a little bit last night, obviously frustrated. We'll talk to him tonight. Probably he'll fly in here, and then we'll sit down with him and see where we at. But hopefully it's just, you know, just he got scared or something. You know, hopefully that's the case. And, you know, he can be back with us, you know, I don't know, over the weekend or sooner rather than later.
You know, Alex, hindsight's kind of 20-20 at times. You know, he missed a lot of time. Do you look back? Because I think a lot of discussion lately, you look at his start and say, man, he probably could have benefited with a lot more time in AAA, even though he's playing back-to-back nights, just to try to find that swing.
He got a lot of at-bats. We built him up pretty good in spring training. Actually, he played seven innings towards the end, kind of like the other guys. He was getting his at-bats in extended spring, and he got his at-bats. I think, you know, this whole thing about the swing and all that, as you know, Lou, you know, regardless of, you can have 50, 80, 100 at-bats in the minor leagues. You haven't played at this level for, what, around a year and a half? That's where it's been for Petey, almost 2 years. It's tough, you know, and it's a work in progress, you know. That happens to all those guys that miss a lot of time, you know, to catch up with the speed of this game at this level, it really doesn't matter. You know, you have to be here and try it. And, you know, he was grinding at bats. He was disciplined in the zone. He was getting beat with fastballs in certain counts. But, you know, late in games, he was putting good at bats. So I don't think that's the case. You know, it really doesn't matter.
We're talking to Alex Cora. Dave Dombrowski, I thought, was pretty honest about this whole Swihart and Sandy Leone stuff. He said there was a split in the organization right from the beginning. Gave the indication, without actually citing your name, that you seemed to be in favor of Sandy Leone. Not that you had anything against Swihart, but maybe there was a comfort level. Over the last couple of weeks, because this is a strange decision to make this early in the season, were you having conversations with your pitchers? Were there any guys that were sitting there saying, nothing against Swihart, but boy, Sandy makes us feel a little bit better behind the plate?
No. The pitchers, they didn't have to deal with this. You know, we actually talked when we made the decision in Arizona, you know, and I met with them, and this is where we're going, and everybody was working hard. You know, everybody worked hard at, you know, with Christian too. You know, it's not only Blake, you know, and trying to get in the same game plan and all that. It's one of those that it's a baseball decision. You know, everybody sat down and we talk about, you know, what can we do better, what we need to do, you know, to get in the right track, you know. And I've been saying along, you know, we believe in the kid, we believe in Sandy, we believe in Christian. You know, it was one of those that, you know, how are we going to get back to who we are, what we do, you know. And, yeah, the offense, we know about Blake, but at the same time, we know what Sandy did last, what, 2 or 3 years? I know what he did last year behind the plate. And, you know, people get caught up on like, is it the catcher or is the pitcher? I think it's a combination. And it's just one of those decisions that you sit down and you decide, hey, this is the way we're going to go. And, we feel that we're gonna be okay with what we decided.
But it's strange. You did it. They made the move so early into the season, risking now losing a kid that was a high prospect in the organization, and your starting pitching wasn't pitching well up to that point. So, why did it happen this early?
I don't know. People might say we're panicking. I just say that, you know, you make adjustments through the season. Sometimes it's early, sometimes it's in mid-season, sometimes it's late, you know. And as a group, we decided to do it now, and we're going to see where it takes us.
So I was laughing after that Chris Sale star. I saw an article in New York said that Chris Sale hit rock bottom. And I felt the complete opposite. Like, for the first time in 9 months, I actually felt really good about Chris Sale. After watching him throw, I thought the one thing he couldn't do was throw that fastball in on righties. And I think he paid the price a few times, at least that side of the plate. But I know he gave it up, but I saw the velocity, the power. I don't have worries from Sale. I felt better about that outing.
And the delivery. You saw the tempo, too. And that's something that... when you feel right, mechanically, you can be as aggressive as you can. And you see the tempo of the delivery in New York compared to the delivery in the first two or three starts is night and day.
You so speed it up? Is that what it was?
Yeah, it feels, yeah. And, you know, he got his legs under it, his balance. And this happens to everybody throughout the season. It just happened to him early in the season. And, you know, he was sick at one, and then, you know, he didn't feel his slider for the other one. But I do feel like after the one in New York, and I don't want to, you know, I'm not a gambling man, whatever, but I do feel that the next one, he's going to put everything together. It was about location, like Lou, you said, you know, with the fastball. He wasn't able to command the fastball on the glove side, which is inside to righties or mm-hmm. into lefties. You see the fastball to Gardner. He was supposed to be away.
LeMahieu.
Side, the double, LeMahieu. He was supposed to be in, fastball up and away. There was another one there, and he paid the price. He was erratic in the strike zone. But I do feel stuff-wise, he is where he's supposed to be, and I do feel that he's going to take off.
So, and Lou's right. I mean, Sale looked pretty good the other night. You got a good outing out of Erod. Price has been pretty good. Evaldi's been pretty good. And yet, Alex, you still can't win games. You got burned last night by a Brazier 0-2 fastball right down the alley. I mean, is this driving you crazy in that you start to see some signs of stuff coming together that you've been talking about that you need to come together, and then something else comes up and crops up on you?
Yeah, I think if you look at the pitch, obviously it was a mistake. But like Work said yesterday, you know, he didn't put people away when he went into the game. You know, the two walks at this level, you put traffic out there, especially in that place, you're one pitch away from really bad things happen. And, you know, we got ahead 0-2 slider. He took his slider, he hung, and he fouled it off. And then we're supposed to go to one place in the strike zone with the fastball, and we leave it over the plate, and we pay the price. But, you know, for how bad it looks and all that, and it's not that I'm positive or I got to play the role of, you know, he's relaxed, he's in a good place, you know. I do feel we're closer than what people think. And everything starts with the pitching. Now the guys are throwing 5-6 innings. We're getting to the point that we're very comfortable with them, and they're going to start giving us, you know, a chance to win ball games because the offense should pick up sooner rather than later. And I do feel that, you know, that's the beginning, and now it's just put everything together. We have to finish games. We have to play better. We know that. But I do feel like the rotation is almost right where it should be, and we're going to take off. That's the division. You know, these guys are playing great right here. The Yankees are going to be better. The other two teams, you know, it's a different vibe. You know, they're running. They're doing stuff differently. It was a tough division last year. It's a tough division this year. It's take care of us right now. Get to the point that we're playing good baseball, and let's see where it takes us. And I do feel that it's going to take us to where we want to be.
You know, one thing with Brazier, I noticed last year in the postseason, right-handed dominant lineups first two rounds, he had a huge role, obviously, against the Dodgers. The role, I don't know, it seemed a little different, right? Because there's a lot of lefties there, and maybe I'm wrong, but how important is that changeup for Ryan Brazier when it comes to being effective? The guys from both sides of the plate in your mind, especially lefties.
No, it's a good pitch. It's a good pitch, and it's a pitch that we didn't use often during the season. We used it a little bit in October. He came into play the other day. You know, he threw one. I forgot the game that it was, and he kind of cut into the zone, and and the guy hit it out of the ballpark.
Yeah.
But it's a pitch that is going to be very important because with his fastball slider, as a lefty, you know, you start looking in certain areas and you attack those areas. So something away from the lefties is going to be important. And he actually has a good changeup. So that's something we've been talking about it since spring training and something we will do throughout the season.
So you're always a positive guy. I understand you want to be consistent with your team in that locker room. We've heard Mookie Betts say that, you know, his play is unacceptable. Chris Sale said he embarrassed his family the other night, which I thought was a funny line. Today, David Price has come out and talked about how this team is well aware where they are and they got to turn it around quick. And in his words, before we end up trading away Mookie and JD if everything goes south. So it seems like publicly you are trying to stay consistent, but obviously the guys in that clubhouse are well aware of where they are. Is there different private conversations with you and these guys about urgency?
No, it's funny because you don't have to have a big meeting to address certain things. And throughout last year, there were points during the season. I can tell you, we remember that game with Mookie when he hit the 3 home runs against Kansas City, and I think at that point, I don't know what the record was. We actually talk about, hey, we need to get better. You know, we're winning ball games, but we're not playing good baseball. So those conversations go on and on and on and on throughout the season, and it's been going on since spring training. You know, we have to do this better. We have to do this better. For us to get to the point that we want to do, we have to, let's say, take care of the baseball. We have to play better defense, you know. We have to be more aggressive swinging the bat. And, you know, I do that on a daily basis. You know, it's nothing has changed, you know. The only thing that has changed is our start. You know, last year it was, 17-2, and this year it is what it is. So, you know, I'm still very consistent with the message. I believe in what we do. I believe in, you know, the group that we have, and you know, we will turn around, man.
All right, time for the Cumberland Farms question of the week for Alex Cora. Question submitted by Patrice Pintabone of Waltham, Massachusetts. Could you ever see a Major League Baseball team playing in Puerto Rico?
Ooh,
think about this 20 years from now. Retire, you're the manager of the team down in Puerto Rico. Yeah, there you go.
I would love to, but it's almost impossible. And there's a lot of reasons. You know, one of them is financially. The Expos, they play, I think it was like 20 games or 25 games. Towards the end of the 90s. And it was cool for a moment because, you know, people back home, they enjoy the big stage, you know, like, you know, go see MLB baseball for a little bit, the big concerts and all that. But to sustain a team back home is impossible. So hopefully we can go down there and play 3 games, you know, next year or in 2 years, whatever. That'd be awesome. But I don't think we can sustain a team down there.
Now, Alex, last one for me. You know, Boston fans around here, they know your organization up and down. You see Pedroia goes down, and right away I start getting tweets about Michael Chavis, right? And I'm thinking Sue Wade Lynn, but hey, Michael Chavis. So you tell me, limited time at second base, what did you see from him? Because to me personally, maybe I'm off, I think he's a work in progress defensively.
Yeah, he's a work in progress. You know, right now, actually, we have communication with Billy and with Bruce Krabbe about, you know, our guys down there. And you start asking about how he's doing at second and all this. And, you know, he hasn't played that much. And there's a few plays that he needs to get better. We're comfortable with him making the routine plays. But as you know, there's other plays that come into play, you know, in the minor leagues and at the big league level. So, like you said, you know, he's a work in progress. He's a guy that he's getting close to what we want to, and you never know, injuries and all that come into play, and you know, he can be here, you know, to contribute, but as of now, you know, he needs a little bit more work at second base.
Question of the week brought to you by Cumberland Farms Farmhouse Blend Iced Coffee. Go to weei.com/manager to submit your question for us to ask Alex Cora every Wednesday. Forget the team meeting, by the way. They never work. Head to the bar. Take everybody to the bar and just drink all night. Right? And then you play a game tomorrow night. You'll be fine by tomorrow night. Right?
And that's a real hangover tomorrow.
Yeah, there you go. There you go.
Hey, we went 2 out of 3 in a Christian next week, okay?
Perfect. Oh, very good. Very good. I like that.
We'll kick him
off. I like that. But he'll look at it as another vacation day. Alex, good luck this weekend. See ya.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.